There is a rapidly declining ability to reach decisions, and even more rapidly declining ability to test and influence minds at hyperspatial distances. Nor can I design a sixth brain. Further miniaturization will run against the blank wall of the uncertainty principle, and further complexity will but assure decay almost at once. Pellerat seemed desperately troubled. But surely, Daniil, Gaia can carry on without you. Now that Treviz has judged and selected Galaxia...
The process simply took too long, sir, said Daniil, as always betraying no emotion. I had to wait for Gaia to be fully established, despite the unanticipated difficulties that arose. By the time a human being, Mr. Treviz, was located, who was capable of making the key decision, it was too late. Do not think, however, that I took no measure to lengthen my lifespan. Little by little, I have reduced my activities in order to conserve what I could for emergencies. When I could no longer rely on active measures to preserve the isolation of the Earth-Moon system, I adopted passive ones. Over a period of years, the humaniform robots that have been working with me have been, one by one, called home. Their last tasks have been to remove all references to Earth in the planetary archives. And without myself and my fellow robots in full play, Gaia will lack the essential tools to carry through the development of Galaxia in less than an inordinate period of time.
And you knew all this, said Treviz, when I made my decision?
A substantial time before, sir, said Daniil. Gaia, of course, did not know.
But then, said Treviz angrily, what was the use of carrying through the charade? What good has it been? Ever since my decision, I have scoured the galaxy, searching for Earth, and what I thought of as its secret, not knowing the secret was you, in order that I might confirm the decision. Well, I have confirmed it. I know now that Galaxia is absolutely essential, and it appears to be all for nothing. Why could you not have left the galaxy to itself, and me to myself?
Daniil said, Because, sir, I have been searching for a way out, and I have been carrying on in the hope that I might find one. I think I have. Instead of replacing my brain with yet another positronic one, which is impractical, I might merge it with a human brain instead, a human brain that is not affected by the three laws and will not only add capacity to my brain, but add a whole new level of abilities as well. That is why I have brought you here.
Treviz looked appalled. You mean you plan to merge a human brain into yours? Have the human brain lose its individuality so that you can achieve a two-brain Gaia?
Yes, sir. It would not make me immortal, but it might enable me to live long enough to establish Galaxia.
And you brought me here for that? You want my independence of the three laws and my sense of judgment made part of you at the price of my individuality?
No. Daniil said, Yet you said a moment ago that Galaxia is essential for the welfare of the human...
Even if it is, it would take a long time to establish, and I would remain an individual in my lifetime. On the other hand, if it were established rapidly, there would be a galactic loss of individuality, and my own loss would be part of an unimaginably greater whole. I would, however, certainly never consent to lose my individuality while the rest of the galaxy retains theirs.
Daniil said, It is then as I thought. Your brain would not merge well, and in any case it would serve a better purpose if you retained an independent judgmental ability.
When did you change your mind? You said that it was for merging that you brought me here.
Yes, and only by using the fullest extent of my greatly diminished powers. Still, when I said that is why I have brought you here, please remember that in galactic standard, the word you represents the plural as well as the singular. I was referring to all of you. Pellerat stiffened in his seat. Indeed? Tell me then, Daniil, would a human brain that was merged with your brain share in all your memories, all 20,000 years of it, back to legendary times? Certainly, sir. Pellerat drew a long breath. That would fulfill a lifetime search, and it is something I would gladly give up my individuality for. Please let me have the privilege of sharing your brain. Trevise asked softly, And Bliss, what about her? Pellerat hesitated for no more than a moment. Bliss will understand, he said. She will, in any case, be better off without me, after a while. Daniil shook his head. Your offer, Dr. Pellerat, is a generous one, but I cannot accept it. Your brain is an old one, and it cannot survive for more than 2 or 3 decades at best, even in a merger with my own. I need something else. See? He pointed and said, I've called her back. Bliss was returning, walking happily, with a bounce to her steps. Pellerat rose convulsively to his feet. Bliss! Oh, no! Do not be alarmed, Dr. Pellerat, said Daniil. I cannot use Bliss. That would merge me with Gaia, and I must remain independent of Gaia, as I have already explained. But in that case, said Pellerat, who... And Trevise, looking at the slim figure running after Bliss, said, The robot has wanted Phelim all along, Janoff. Bliss returned smiling, clearly in a state of great pleasure. We couldn't pass beyond the bounds of the estate, she said, but it all reminded me very much of Solaria. Phelim, of course, is convinced it is Solaria. I asked her if she didn't think that Daniil had an appearance different from that of Jimby. After all, Jimby was metallic. And Phelim said, No, not really. I don't know what she meant by not really. She looked across to the middle distance, where Phelim was now playing her flute for a grave Daniil, whose head nodded in time. The sound reached them, thin, clear, and lovely. Did you know she took the flute with her when we left the ship? Asked Bliss. I suspect we won't be able to get her away from Daniil for quite a while. The remark was met with a heavy silence, and Bliss looked at the two men in quick alarm. What's the matter? Trevise gestured gently in Pellerat's direction. It was up to him, the gesture seemed to say. Pellerat cleared his throat and said, Actually, Bliss, I think that Phelim will be staying with Daniil permanently. Indeed? Bliss, frowning, made as though to walk in Daniil's direction, but Pellerat caught her arm. Bliss, dear, you can't. He's more powerful than Gaia, even now. And Phelim must stay with him if Galaxia is to come into existence. Let me explain. And Golan, please correct me if I get anything wrong. Bliss listened to the account, her expression sinking into something close to despair. Trevise said in an attempt at cool reason, You see how it is, Bliss. The child is a spacer, and Daniil was designed and put together by spacers. The child was brought up by a robot and knew nothing else on an estate as empty as this one. The child has transductive powers which Daniil will need, and she will live for 3 or 4 centuries, which may be what is required for the construction of Galaxia. Bliss said, her cheeks flushed and her eyes moist. I suppose that the robot maneuvered our trip to Earth in such a way as to make us pass through Solaria in order to pick up a child for his use. Treviz shrugged. He may simply have taken advantage of the opportunity. I don't think his powers are strong enough at the moment to make complete puppets of us at hyperspatial distances. No, it was purposeful. He made certain that I would feel strongly attracted to the child so that I would take her with me, rather than leave her to be killed. That I would protect her even against you, when you showed nothing but resentment and annoyance at her being with us. Treviz said, That might just as easily have been your Gaian ethics, which Daniil could have strengthened a bit, I suppose. Come, Bliss, there's nothing to be gained. Suppose you could take Phalum away. Where could you then take her that would make her as happy as she is here? Would you take her back to Solaria, where she would be killed quite pitilessly? To some crowded world where she would sicken and die? To Gaia, where she would wear her heart out longing for Jembe? On an endless voyage through the galaxy, where she would think that every world we came across was her Solaria? And would you find a substitute for Daniil's use so that Galaxia could be constructed? Bliss was sadly silent. Pellerat held out his hand to her a bit timidly. Bliss, he said, I volunteered to have my brain fused with Daniil's. He wouldn't take it because he said I was too old. I wish he had, if that would have saved Phalum for you. Bliss took his hand and kissed it. Thank you, Pell, but the price would be too high, even for Phalum. She took a deep breath and tried to smile. Perhaps when we get back to Gaia, room will be found in the global organism for a child for me, and I will place Phalum in the syllables of its name. And now Daniil, as though aware that the matter was settled, was walking toward them, with Phalum skipping along at his side. The youngster broke into a run and reached them first. She said to Bliss, Thank you, Bliss, for taking me home to Jembe again, and for taking care of me while we were on the ship. I shall always remember you. Then she flung herself at Bliss, and the two held each other tightly. I hope you will always be happy, said Bliss. I will remember you too, Phalum dear, and released her with reluctance. Phalum turned to Pellerat and said, Thank you too, Pell, for letting me read your book films. Then, without an additional word, and after a trace of hesitation, the thin, girlish hand was extended to Treviz. He took it for a moment, then let it go. Good luck, Phalum, he muttered. Daniil said, I thank you all, sirs and madam, for what you have done, each in your own way. You are free to go now, for your search is ended. As for my own work, it will be ended too, soon enough. And successfully now. But Bliss said, Wait, we are not quite through. We don't know yet whether Treviz is still of the mind that the proper future for humanity is Galaxia, as opposed to a vast conglomeration of isolates. Daniil said, He has already made that clear a while ago, madam. He has decided in favor of Galaxia. Bliss's lips tightened. I'd rather hear that from him. Which is it to be, Trevise?
Trevise said calmly, Which do you want it to be, Bliss? If I decide against Galaxia, you may get Phalum back.
Bliss said, I am Gaia. I must know your decision and its reason, for the sake of the truth and nothing else.
Daniil said, Tell her, sir, your mind, as Gaia is aware, is untouched. And Trevise said, The decision is for Galaxia. There is no further doubt in my mind on that point.
104.
Bliss remained motionless for the time one might take to count to 50 at a moderate rate, as though she were allowing the information to reach all parts of Gaia. And then she said,
Why?
Trevise said, Listen to me. I knew from the start that there were two possible futures for humanity, Galaxia, or else the Second Empire of Selden's plan. And it seemed to me that those two possible futures were mutually exclusive. We couldn't have Galaxia unless, for some reason, Selden's plan had some fundamental flaw in it. Unfortunately, I knew nothing about Selden's plan except for the two axioms on which it is based. One, that there be involved a large enough number of human beings to allow humanity to be treated statistically as a group of individuals interacting randomly. And second, that humanity not know the results of psychohistorical conclusions before the results are achieved. Since I had already decided in favor of Galaxia, I felt I must be subliminally aware of flaws in Selden's plan, and those flaws could only be in the axioms, which were all I knew of the plan. Yet I could see nothing wrong with the axioms. I strove then to find Earth, feeling that Earth could not be so thoroughly hidden for no purpose. I had to find out what that purpose was. I had no real reason to expect to find a solution once I found Earth, but I was desperate and could think of nothing else to do. And perhaps Daniil's desire for a Solarian child helped drive me. In any case, we finally reached Earth and then the Moon, and Bliss detected Daniil's mind, which he, of course, was deliberately reaching out to her. She described that mind as neither quite human nor quite robotic. In hindsight, that proved to make sense, for Daniil's brain is far advanced beyond any robot that ever existed and would not be sensed as simply robotic. Neither would it be sensed as human, however. Pellerat referred to it as something new, and that served as a trigger for something new of my own, a new thought. Just as long ago, Daniil and his colleague worked out a fourth law of robotics that was more fundamental than the other three, so I could suddenly see a third basic axiom of psychohistory that was more fundamental than the other two. A third axiom so fundamental that no one ever bothered to mention it. Here it is. The two known axioms deal with human beings, and they are based on the unspoken axiom that human beings are the only intelligent species in the galaxy, and therefore the only organisms whose actions are significant in the development of society and history. That is the unstated axiom. That there is only one species of intelligence in the galaxy, and that it is Homo sapiens. If there were something new, if there were other species of intelligence widely different in nature, then their behavior would not be described accurately by the mathematics of psychohistory, and Selden's plan would have no meaning. Do you see? Trevise was almost shaking with the earnest desire to make himself understood. Do you see? He repeated.
Pellerat said, Yes, I see. But as devil's advocate, old chap... Yes? Go on. Human beings are the only intelligences in the galaxy. Robots? Said Bliss. Gaia? Pellerat thought a while, then said hesitantly, Robots have played no significant role in human history since the disappearance of the spacers. Gaia has played no significant role until very recently. Robots are the creation of human beings, and Gaia is the creation of robots. And both robots and Gaia, insofar as they must be bound by the three laws, have no choice but to yield to human will. Despite the 20,000 years Daniil has labored and the long development of Gaia, a single word from Golan Travis, a human being, would put an end to both those labors and that development. It follows, then, that humanity is the only significant species of intelligence in the galaxy, and psychohistory remains valid. The only form of intelligence in the galaxy, repeated Travis slowly. I agree. Yet we speak so much and so often of the galaxy that it is all but impossible for us to see that this is not enough. The galaxy is not the universe. There are other galaxies. Pellerat and Bliss stirred uneasily. Daniil listened with benign gravity, his hand slowly stroking Phalum's hair. Travis said, Listen to me again. Just outside the galaxy are the Magellanic Clouds, where no human ship has ever penetrated. Beyond that are other small galaxies. And not very far away is the giant Andromeda Galaxy, larger than our own. Beyond that are galaxies by the billions. Our own galaxy has developed only one species of an intelligence great enough to develop a technological society. But what do we know of the other galaxies? Ours may be atypical. In some of the others, perhaps even in all, there may be many competing intelligent species struggling with each other, and each incomprehensible to us. Perhaps it is their mutual struggle that preoccupies them. But what if, in some galaxy, one species gains domination over the rest and then has time to consider the possibility of penetrating other galaxies? Hyperspatially, the galaxy is a point, and so is all the universe. We have not visited any other galaxy, and as far as we know, no intelligent species from another galaxy has ever visited us. But that state of affairs may end someday. And if the invaders come, they are bound to find ways of turning some human beings against other human beings. We have so long had only ourselves to fight that we are used to such internecine quarrels. An invader that finds us divided against ourselves will dominate us all or destroy us all. The only true defense is to produce Galaxia, which cannot be turned against itself, and which can meet invaders with maximum power. Bliss said, The picture you paint is a frightening one. Will we have time to form Galaxia? Travis looked up, as though to penetrate the thick layer of moon rock that separated him from the surface and from space, as though to force himself to see those far-distant galaxies moving slowly through unimaginable vistas of space. He said, In all human history, no other intelligence has impinged on us, to our knowledge. This need only continue a few more centuries, perhaps little more than 1/10,000th of the time civilization has already existed, and we will be safe. After all, And here Travis felt a sudden twinge of trouble, which he forced himself to disregard. It is not as though we had the enemy already here and among us. And he did not look down to meet the brooding eyes of Phelim, hermaphroditic, transductive, different, as they rested unfathomably on him. This concludes the reading of Foundation and Earth by Isaac Asimov. This book was read by Larry A. McKeever.